we come together, children may go out to the creation station. We come together today holding a heavy mix of emotions. On one hand, our hearts are broken after yet another school shooting, this time in Minneapolis. Children, parents, teachers, first responders, clergy, and all of an entire community are carrying grief and trauma that will not go away quickly. And every shooting like this opens up the wounds of past ones. We say the names of cities Uvalde, Sandy Hook, Columbine, and now Minneapolis joins that list. We whisper, or maybe we shout, "How long, O Lord? How long until our children can learn in safety? How long until the violence ends?" And then, on the other hand, we also live in a world that insists on joy, even in the middle of sorrow. Just days ago, the headlines were filled with the announcement of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's engagement. Now you might say, "Pastor, this has no place in a sermon." But let's be honest. Millions of us saw the headlines, and millions smiled when they saw those headlines as well. Millions breathed a sigh of happiness in a week of grief and headlines filled with heartbreak. And maybe that shows us something about ourselves. We are hungry for hope. We long for reminders that love is still possible, that love is greater than hate, that joy can surprise us, and commitment can be celebrated. This is the complexity of being human: tragedy and tenderness, despair and delight, tears and laughter. Friday night, I was with my friends who, her mother had a stroke and has a brain bleed, and she's on comfort care. And we sat around her bed with tears. And then, you know what? It was peals of laughter. These coexist. That's how complex it is to be human. Our lives are rarely simple. Instead, they are, as Taylor might put it, all too well. Messy, complicated, full of heartbreak and healing. And it's into this complexity that Jesus speaks today. Jesus tells of a story about a banquet. He notices how people are scrambling for the best seats and pushing to prove that they belong at the head of the table. And he warns them, "When you are invited, do not take the highest place. Sit at the lowest. And when you throw a banquet, don't just invite those who can repay you. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind." Now, at first, this sounds like nothing more than good etiquette. Don't be rude. Don't brag. Don't put yourself before others. But Jesus isn't teaching table manners. Jesus is painting a vision, a picture of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom, a banquet where the overlooked, the forgotten, the broken are given a place of honor. A feast where grief is met with compassion, where children are safe, and where joy is multiplied, not hoarded. We live in a culture that tells us to fight for those best seats, to chase power and wealth and recognition. Social media teaches us to polish our images, to look like we have it all together. But God's kingdom runs on different logic. At God's table, the poor, the lonely, the grieving, the outsider, the stranger are all not only invited, but they are celebrated and they are honored. Hebrews reminds us, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. What if every child who walks into a classroom, every neighbor you pass on the street, every stranger you see is carrying the very face of God? To welcome them, to honor them, is to honor God. Now, this is hard because the world we live in does not look like this banquet. It looks like school shootings and locked doors. It looks like children who are afraid to go to class. It looks like families who can't afford the groceries they need. It looks like those headlines that make us cry. And yet, it looks like people finding ways to hold on to joy. A pop star and a football player announcing an engagement. A neighbor showing up with a meal after a loss. A child drawing a picture for a teacher. Joy and grief are tangled together. So what does that mean for us here and now? Well, first, it means we don't look away from tragedy. We name it, we lament it. We cry out with the psalmist and say, "How long, O Lord?" We call on our leaders, our community, to do better. And we refuse to let numbness win. But it also means we don't apologize for holding onto joy. We can sit in grief and still smile at an engagement announcement. We can pray for victims and still dance when we hear a love song. We can cry and we can laugh. And sometimes in the same moment, joy doesn't erase grief. But grief does not get the final word either. Jesus' story at the banquet asks us to live differently, to resist, to urge, to grab the best seats, but to notice who's missing from the table, to invite those who can't repay us, to honor those the world overlooks, to take joy seriously, not as an escape from reality, but as a holy glimpse of God's promise, God's promises of hope, that love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than hate. Love is stronger than evil. Because here's the truth. When Jesus sat at the table, he didn't hand out etiquette lessons. He welcomed the tax collectors and he welcomed the sinners. He broke bread with the outcasts and the poor. He lifted up the ones that the world despised. And then at the end of his earthly life, he gave us a table that still stands, the table of communion. We come not because we deserve it. It's not because we can repay God, but because God has invited us. That's the heart of the gospel, folks. You belong. Not because you earned the best seat, not because of your power, not because of your reputation. You belong because God has said, you belong with me. And so today we gather at Christ's table. We bring it all. We bring our grief and we bring our joy. We bring our sorrow and we bring our laughter. We bring our headlines of violence and stories of love. We bring all our messes, all our joy, and all our longing for a world where love wins. At this table, God says, there is a place for you, for the grieving parent, for the tired teacher, for the child who is scared, for the neighbor who is lonely, for the couple who just got engaged, for those who have just started or will be starting school tomorrow or Monday, Tuesday. When you leave this place, extend that table in the world. Be the ones who make room. Be the ones who notice those who get overlooked. Be the ones who hold both grief and joy, sorrow and celebration. Because that is what it means to be human. That is what it means to follow Jesus. Be the hands, the feet, the heart, the action that sends the message, you belong to me, to this world. Love God. May our lives be an invitation for all to experience the good news. God loves you. God claims you. God cares for you. You, dear neighbor, who are like me, and you, who neighbor, who are different from me. You are seen. You belong. And as we do, may we remember the words from the backpack blessing. When we enter into this world, do so with the awareness and the promise that God is with us. Even in the midst of the brokenness, there is hope. May each of us be strengthened as we are living into this hope and share this hope with others. You guys know the refrain, God is with us. As we gather today, may we know and feel and experience that God is with us. As we leave this place and go into our homes, go into our neighborhoods, may we know and live, God is with us. As we go to work, to school, to the groups that we are involved with, let us remember, God is with us. And in the midst of this broken world, hold us in your hope. Hold us in your love. Help us to remember, God is with us. Amen.